Well, those are your prayers. And I would like to leave one final thought with you folks. I mean to go right on. I think that people don't have the capability of making themselves successful. But I also believe that you're only successful. God makes the way, but He wants us to want to. We've got to desire it. And, you know, we can listen to the messages and hear a lot of things and those kind of things. But honestly, if we really don't have the determination to do it, then it ain't going to happen. The Lord wants us to have the determination that I mean to go right on. God will meet us at that. What we desire in God, He'll meet us there. I believe that. I believe that He'll be God to us. And when you want to make heaven, Brother Clifford used to tell us, you can go to heaven if you want to with all your heart. Anything short of that, you'll come up short of it. Do you want to go to heaven? You determined to go to heaven? God will make a way to go to heaven. He's God. Yes. But we got to be determined to go. And that's my message today. I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us because we lose too many people. Yes. I want to encourage us because you might be one of them. I might be one of them. We got to set in our hearts, I mean to be successful. I mean to go to heaven. I mean to go through whatever it is that I got to go through to be successful. I'm not going to be deterred by anything. I'm going to keep going for the Lord no matter what happens. Our song we have in our book. I mean to go right on. We sing that, raise our hands to it. We get excited about it when we call it. Messages come along, we call this song at the end of many times to state our determination to one another and to God. Lord, I mean by your grace, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. See? Till the crown's won. Brother Sammons, with a distant look in his eye, said one day almost, I was the only one there, so he was talking to me, but it was almost like he wasn't talking to me. Said it'd be a shame if I'd lose out after all this. With a distant look across the valley. Be ashamed to lose out after all this. It'd be worthless. It wouldn't have meant anything. Brother Jim said sometime before he died, he said, the devil fights me more in my last days than he ever fought me before. Trying to cause me to give up. And if I give up, he says, what will any of what I ever done matter? It'll make no difference what I done if I don't make it to the end. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. You know, I read this in this song and it brings to my mind, I'll be honest with you, this is what comes to my mind, my failures. If I had all victory, I wouldn't think the way I do. But what comes to my mind is my failures. And what I had to fight through. What I had to get victory through failures sometimes. Or through some of the things I've done. And even to come out to the end of that and still say, I mean to go right on. Paul said in 2 Timothy, what for? He says that I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Went through all kind of fights, all kind of battles, disappointments, false prophets, false brethren, false teachers, all of these things, shipwrecks, beatings, scourging. I went through all of these things. I finished my course. And all, through all of that could have pulled me, deterred me, got me to thinking different, seeing different, I kept the faith. I got what I started with. I got a better dose of it. Through all of that, I've never wavered or never lost anything. I still have it. I'm determined. I mean to go on. I mean not to let disappointments. I mean not to let offenses. I mean not to let the world. I mean not to let these things get me. Till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. You know, I mean that. I mean that. I'm not going to turn back. I can honestly say, since I got saved, there has not been a serious mind to return back to the world. I've never had a serious mind. I've been very much challenged to see young people coming up below me that desired the world. Because I was always saying, you are giving up the good life to go back to what I gave up to get the good life. I'm not seriously had a consideration to go back to the way I was. I don't want to go back. I don't desire to go back. I wouldn't have it in any way. I mean to go on. I want to see what the rest of it's all about. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. Defeat? Not ultimately. Few pebbles in the road sometimes, some stones in the road, some slowing down sometimes, hitting some bumps sometimes, but ultimate defeat? I shall not know. For God will give me victory if onward I shall go. Should opposition come? Well, here's we're getting into it, because it's not smooth sailing. I know that. I don't know what disease I may face. I don't know what my family may face. I don't know what the United States of America may face. I don't know what the government may do. I don't know what other people may do. But I do know there is opposition. But none of it deters me or make me think that I'm not going to go on. I mean to go on. I hope you mean to go on. Whatever it is, and be encouraged to place the things that you've heard, the things that's touched you, put them into your life and go on and say, thank you, Lord, I mean to go on. I mean to be successful. Should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution's fire be lit, as in the ancient day? Well, with Jesus by my side, His peace within my soul. No matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win the gold. Well, I imagine if them old brethren could went through some fire, I imagine some of the modern saints can go through some fire too. Jesus by my side, won't make no difference. I'm determined that God have His way, be able to work in my life, see. Be encouraged today. I hope you're encouraged. Go on. I want mean to go on. No matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win the goal. I see a shining crown awaiting over there. I see a mansion all prepared and decked in beauties rare. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. Then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banner borne aloft, inscribed in Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and heaven opened gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. Turn with me over into Hebrews 10th chapter. Verse 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I believe that many times we fail to see the end of the story. I think many times in the plans of God, there is things that come up that God has a full, many, many times in my life, waiting patiently on the Lord was that what brought the answer. Is what brought the final scene that I could tell the story in victory. Had it come up short of that, it had not been able to tell what the story was, what God had intended, what He had to do. This case here is thought of this way, Paul writing this about the Christians. Said, we're not cowards. Christians are not cowards. Christianity is bravery. It's extremely brave. It's courageous. We're not of those that draw back from the things that we face. But we mean to go right on through what it is, through the fire, the flood, through what it is to show the end of the story, the glory of God. This is the story that's used. In 70 AD, the Roman armies under Titus surrounds Jerusalem. There is in Jerusalem in those years, Church of God. God's church had been established there in Jerusalem. Over the years that come up to that, there was much persecution. There was much stuff that come against the church. Do you know some faded away? Some gave in. Some Christians in those final days gave in to those persecutions and went away from Christ. But the story was to go on. The story was is that Jesus had prophesied of this very event. Men of God had understood it. The Holy Spirit had brought it to them. And they understood that Jesus had prophesied of this. And there come a time that when the army was ready to encircle Jerusalem, that the Christian leaders told the people to leave and go to a city not far from Jerusalem. So all of the Christians, the true Christians, the true believers, left Jerusalem. According to Adam Clark, not one Christian perished in the siege on Jerusalem. He took that authority from Josephus. They had all left and went to another city. But here is the thought that remains in this. What a beautiful story. Isn't it a beautiful story of Christ to His church, His deliverance, His power? Yeah, they went through persecutions. They went all of that. But God delivered them. They said, I don't care if I perish. I'm going to stay with the Lord. No matter what, I'll go through the persecution. I mean to go right on through whatever it is. But don't you think for a minute that you're doing it blindly to the Lord. The Lord has great honor and respect for those that give their heart and life to Him. He honored those that had, and He gave them the word. To those that had been Christians and turned away from Christ, perished in Jerusalem under the siege. They thought they saved their life, folks. They thought that they had turned away their persecution. They thought that they had that. But in reality, by not going on, they had defeated their own purposes. And the Lord, it was ready for deliverance. He delivered the faithful. I mean to go right on. Why? I tell you why. God's been faithful to me. God's been faithful to my soul. God's been faithful when I've seen it and looked at it. And there's times that the song says it's darkest right before the dawn. It is darkest right before the dawn. But I'm going to tell you, it's not time to give up. You haven't wrote the last chapter. There is another chapter beyond darkness in the Lord. There always is. So he says here in this, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, or you could say even to the saving of life, of our life. We aren't those that draw back for any reason to go back to the devil, to go back to the ways of the world, to give up our heavenly home, to give up our heavenly kingdom, to give up our salvation. We're not cowards. We're not going to give up or give in. We mean to do it. We mean to go right on. Even to the belief of the saving of our own lives and our saving of our soul, because we know God's in control. We know God's in control. God's in control of your life. God's in control of what you're doing. God's really in control. To give that over to the Lord is the safest thing you'll ever do. We do lose people out. There are people that do turn back because of one thing or another. But Lord, help us. Be determined. Be determined today. Set it in your heart. Or as a writer wrote, set your face like a flint. Hard, unmovable. Set your face like a flint. Single-purposed. Single-minded. I mean. With all my heart, with your help, Lord, I mean to go through whatever I have to go through. You don't know what it is, but to set that purpose, I mean to go right on. Over in the, 13th chapter of Matthew. Oh, this is the parable of the sower. You heard it many times, 20th verse. But he that receiveth seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But he has no root. I think it's easy enough to say, well, I mean to go right on. I mean to go right on. But saying I mean to go right on and having the desire to go right on means that you get root in yourself. It means you make the decision to ground yourself. Just saying I mean to go right on through anything without the fortitude, without the power, without the strength, without the word to go through it with is not really saying it at all. But to say I mean to go right on, it says that I mean to pray my way through. I mean to get counsel from God. I mean to follow the old path that's been secured and has showed the way. I mean to follow the old saints that showed the way through. I mean to go right on with the artillery God gave me to go through with. I mean to shun the world. You can't say I mean to go right on then go and get you some worldly video and sit and fill yourself with garbage. You can't do it. That's not what going on is. Going on means I mean to get every bit of ammunition, munitions, all my armor, I mean to go on, but it means I'm going to armor myself. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to get rid of what I have to get rid of and take on what I've got to take on. The scripture says there was people that heard the word. Sounds good to me. I want to be saved. It sounds good. Sounds good. You mean you get to go to heaven and don't have to go to hell? Hey, that sounds good to me. Sounds good. So anon, with joy, they received the word. Yeah, that's the way I want to go. What's it cost me? I mean to go right on means I'm going to count the cost. And I'm going to come to the place no matter what the cost is, I'm going to pay the cost. I'm going to pay the price. What's it going to cost me? It's going to cost me some time on my knees. Well, maybe you don't like being on your knees. It's going to cost you. I mean to go right on. And if you mean to go right on, it's going to cost you some. It may cost you some sleep. It may cost you some food. You may need to fast and pray your way through. You may have to seek and seek and seek to get answers. But I mean to go right on. It's not just philosophical thought. It's that I got to put into actions the things that make this thing work. I mean to go right on through persecution? Am I really strong enough to go through persecution? You mean not get no bitterness in my heart or no hatred toward the ends? You mean go through it the way the Lord wants me to? Well, I mean to go right on, but I'm going to have more than just Marty Clevenger thought to get me through there. I'm going to have some root in myself. I'm going to have something that's stronger. And I'm going to tell you how you do it. And generally you don't do it and one day you do it and all there, you're there. The way it's worked for me in my life is that I mean to do it and the Lord starts building stuff in my life. And He teaches me how to go through a little adversity and then a little more adversity. He teaches me how to put up with criticisms and He teaches me how not to be offended. And I really like the scripture I told Brother Ed the other day. There's a scripture that says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I try as hard as I can in life to live by that scripture because it's a real good one. Because I hate the feeling of being offended, so I just won't. I, Lord, help me. Great peace have they which love thy law. I love the Lord's law, and He's not offended with me, so why should I be offended? But I've got to have some root. If I mean to go right on, I'm going to have to build character. I'm going to have to build the honor, the integrity in my life that I can go on. I don't think Daniel just all of a sudden said, well, you know what? I'm determined that I'm going to go on, so I'll go to that lion's den. It's no problem. Daniel had a lifetime of rooting himself. He had a lifetime of faithfulness to a God that heard him when he prayed. He fasted and prayed, and he got to what he had to do. He fasted as long as it took. He got the answers to what he needed to do. He had rooted himself, and he had no doubt when he went to there, opening his door windows three times a day, every day, faithfully all those times. He had rooted himself that God would do God's will in his life. I mean to go right on. I'll go through the lion's den. I'll go through the fire. I'll go through all those things. You look into the scripture, there is not hardly a case in the Bible that a man stands at the time of his trying, stands on that merit alone. He has always got a lifetime. If look and see. The children, those three Hebrew children did not just come up to that furnace. They started with lesser things. David did not just take the giant down. He started back with a lion and a bear. You trace it through the scriptures and you'll find out that there was always getting root in yourself for those people that was determined to go on. They allowed the Lord the right of way in their life, building faith, building confidence, building the ability to get to those places. I mean to go right on. But in the process of I mean to go right on, it means I'm going to have to do what I need to do. On a daily basis, coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am again. Teach me today the lessons of today. This day, teach me my lessons. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he goes away. Wasn't able to handle some of the smallest carnal, secular matters. Do you know a lot of people don't go away because there's some great big spiritual battle? It goes away because the devil slipped in an inkling of a suggestion of a thought of a word. The smallest of matters that gets people, well, the church ain't treating me right. I'm sure that the pastor's message on Sunday was directed right at me. Those kind of ideas are hardly worth anything. But without root, they become mountains. Oh, I mean to go right on. Lord, help me that I don't allow these things to affect my life. I mean to go through whatever it is. I mean to be the best that I can be. I mean to be what you would have me to be, even if the preacher did preach at me, which has always been a funny thing to me, because if you're really serious about the Lord, I think it'd be a special privilege if you could get the preacher to preach to you. in a way, you think, well, if I've got needs and the preacher would address those needs to my eternals, that'd be a real blessing. It would be nice to think that the pastor was thinking about me every week. Then I could go with the idea that at least he's going to pay attention to me. It's going to be about me. I could go and do it. It's a strange thing the way people think about going before the Lord. I would think and say, Lord, would you please give the pastor something to talk about me today? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Because we're fighting. I mean to go right on. I need to be fortified for the week. Lord, if you wouldn't mind telling the pastor what I need, and he'll tell me, that would be a blessing to me. Isn't that true? I remember a guy who was in a secular church, but he had told me one time that he was a Sunday school teacher or something. He said the pastor come to him and said, I'm going to let you go ahead and teach Sunday school. He said, but you better not point any of your Sunday school at me, the pastor told him. And I said, well, I thought that's what you'd want to go to Sunday school for. I always went to Sunday school thinking, I wonder what the Lord's going to say to me. I wonder what I can get out of this. I think you would want to say that. Well, please, Sunday school teacher, you got anything about me? Pastor, you got anything about me? Why? Because I want to go on. I want to be faithful. I need to be fortified. I need to have strength of it. But you see the different mindsets. You got a mindset of being hurt and going to look for hurt, you're going to be hurt. You want to have a reason to run off, you'll run. You will. The devil will make sure you have a reason. I'm determined that I'm going to be faithful no matter what anybody does. And if I get that mindset, the devil's going to make sure somebody says something and they're going to make a comment and they may be talking about their cat or dog and I'm going to think he meant it about me and it ain't going to be true. I mean to go on. I'm not going to let these expressions and these things deter me from serving the Lord. Well, you got to have root in yourself. Root. That's what gives a plant its stability. But it's more than just the stability of the plant. It's what draws the nutrition that takes it to live. The roots keep spreading. When without roots, it don't get anything to hold itself. And when the droughts come, the sun, all that, the roots aren't in depth enough to pull moisture and pull value from the surroundings around it. Folks, this is what I'm saying. Root in yourself finds value in all life around you in God. You find it at the store. You can find it at the park. You can find it in nature. You can find it in these words. You can find it in testimonies and songs. You got root in yourself and you're pulling nutrients from God in His world. But without it, you can't go on. You may say, well, I mean to go on. This is a great plan. I want to go to heaven. But without root in yourself, you can't go on. We need to start ourselves for root that I might be able to go on. And one more scripture over in John I want to look at. The 6th chapter of John. Fifty-third verse. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? This is a difficult thing to understand. Or maybe this is a difficult thing to apply. Maybe this is a difficult thing to live. What exactly are you talking about here? Why were they his disciples? This wasn't talking about the 12, but it was talking about the disciples, those that were followers of Christ. What made them followers of Christ? Eating some bread and fish? Seeing a blind man healed? What gathered them to be disciples? Something worked. Something, they were hearing these words. If there was disciples and following, they had saw the works of God around it. If they had saw the miracles and saw the things around, and anon for joy received it, this must be special. This is God. There's something here. They were disciples of the Lord. But when the Lord said this, they said, this is a hard saying. Something got in their minds. Something become a conflict between going on and being a true disciple, being one that would go and endure to the end. Something challenged that about life. Give me the fish, give me the cheese, give me the bread, make an easy life for me, be a redeemer, be somebody that's going to conquer the Romans, and I'll follow you. But when you start going on to this eating your flesh, drinking your blood stuff, you're going into a realm that I'm not quite going with you with. Because if you're really meaning live like you live, and you ain't got anything, or to follow your way of loving and helping people as a whole process of your life, are you talking about suffering, the humiliation that people give you? What are you meaning about us being like you here? I'm not sure I want to go. Does this offend you? What and if you should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? You think that that would alter your opinion? Think about it. Would that offer you, if you was able? Jesus said, what if you saw me ascend back up, the heavens open, the scrolls, like a scroll open up, and you see me go back to the glory that I come from? Now what would you think? Forget the signs. Forget the wonders. God does these miracles these days. God is a mighty God, able to do mighty miracles and make them appear like they're nothing. It's the biggest miracle of God. He can do the greatest things and not even people can't even see it. Because he makes it appear as nothing. He heals the saints of God many times in such a subtle, easy way that he confounds the whole thing, but he does a great miracle. God is still a great miracle-working God. What are you looking for? Are we going to go on as long as God always doing these great, outstanding miracles and we see them all the time? Jesus condemned those ones that wanted a sign. He said there'd be one sign. You know what the sign is? The resurrection, salvation. There's a sign of God. Well, does this offend you? What if you'd see me go back? What are you wanting to see? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. 65 says, and he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I don't know what determination they had. I don't know why exactly they was disciples to start with. Something moved their heart. They made a stand of some kind. They didn't care that the world seen them. It was obviously open. They made a stand. They went with the Lord. But they allowed something to get in there that challenged them about going on. I ask you this. Of whatever energy, effort, money, whatever they gave in the process of following the Lord, what did it do them any good? It didn't avail them anything. Nothing. They come up empty on that. From that time, many of his disciples walked no more with him. They began to discover. I've asked this question many times, but what is that one element or that thing that happens or that circumstance that would cause you or cause me not to follow the Lord? Is there a circumstance? Is there a thing that you would say? That's all. That's as far as I go. I'll live this thing to this point, but that's as far as it goes. Is there a place like that? Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? How is your determination, 12? How do you feel about what I just said? How do you feel about the circumstances of your life? You got something that would cause you not to follow? Would you go away also? And at what prompting? Persecution? Troubles of some kind? Affliction? What's your mark that you say, Lord, this is as far as I go with you? Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Oh, how many times have I said, Lord, where am I going to go? I've already tried the world. And no, absolutely, it didn't satisfy me. I got tired of it by the time I was a very young man. I was about 23, 24 years old. I run it through. It didn't do it. I don't have to wonder about what the world can do for me because it can't. I already know that. So where will you go also? And he said, where would we go? That's a good answer. Where would we go? To the world? To the Jewish religion? We go back to the Jewish religion? Go back to the old law system and try to get our souls straight? How are we going to do this? Where am I going to go to make things right? Where am I going to go to... Do you know that you're going to go through afflictions and troubles and persecution and all that if you serve God or you don't? Life is going to be full of all kinds of troubles whether you serve the Lord or not. Where would we go to avoid that? Where am I going to avoid to go to change these things in my life? Where am I going to go to do that? Do you know the Lord wants to give us every one of these things? He wants to bring us out to a place that we can say, the Lord brought me through this. My little boy at our camp meeting one year, several years ago, was running across the, without his shoes on, he was running across the porch or something, had some old treated lumber on it. He got a splinter in his foot. And I got the splinter out, had to pick it out. I bribed him with a popsicle or something, and got the splinter out. It was deep into his heel or his foot. And it didn't bleed. And I remember when it didn't bleed, I thought, I don't like that. I wish that would have just gushed. I wish it would really bled out, but it didn't. And I was concerned about it, but he went running on along and everything seemed to be okay in a couple of days. We was in the camp meeting. And he was coming down the steps at a house and our stairs, and he started crying. I thought he stubbed his foot, and I went and looked, and that splinter, where that splinter was, had infected. And the infection was starting to run blood poison up his leg. He had these strips that was running up his leg. It was pretty serious stuff. Well, we went to service that night and had him anointed and prayed for, and he fell asleep on the bench. We got him and took him home after that, and I never would imagine such a thing happened, but the infection in his body and his little hands just turned almost beet red, and they bloomed out like you blew a balloon up his hands from the infection in his body, and them red streaks running up his leg. Where will you go? I've heard those words many times. Where would I go, Lord? But I'm going to tell you, it called me to prayer. I stayed by the bed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I poured my heart out to God hours. Hours. And there was a certain time in the middle of the night that I was praying, and this great peace of God descended upon me. Oh, I will tell you, I was in anguish. I was, of spirit. a prayer for him. He was disturbed and fussy all night, just fussing and disturbed. And this sense of peace come over me. And when it did, I immediately felt God done something. I felt it. Peace come over me. He was hot and infected and all that. And, you know, he immediately just went to sleep and slept the rest of the night and got up the next morning. The hands are gone. The red lines are gone. The Lord had touched him in the middle of the night. And I saw the end. I saw the end. I'm able to testify to you that I went through a dark time. And at one point it seemed awfully dark. But I stayed with the Lord and I saw him deliver. I saw him bring it out. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Today, as time goes, I mean to go right on. I mean to see the end of it. I mean to see the end of my trials, my difficulty. I mean to see the end of the Christian race. Where would we go? You have a solely. I know there's answers to body's things. I know there's things you can do. I know there's a host of things. But Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. That's the difference. There's words of all kind of things and remedies and all kind of things. But he said, you have the words of eternal life. I can't do it without you. I mean to go on because I mean to make heaven my home. I mean to go through because I mean to see the end of this thing in peace with you. That's what I have a goal to do. I mean to go on. I hope you have the same courage today. I hope you have the same desire. Just plant it in your heart that I mean to do whatever it takes. It's not just a determination that I'm going to do the steps that it takes. I mean to go on and I mean to do every step that I'm in. Give me the ultimate opportunity. We need to take every opportunity in this race we have. Every opportunity that shows itself, we need to take that opportunity. People in the sports world know if they're going to win in sports, they take every opportunity. A good coach makes sure he gets the best players. He makes sure they're physically fit as much as possibly can be. He looks at the other team and looks at the disadvantages and where he can match up his better positions with the weaker positions. He takes every opportunity he can to take advantage of his enemy and get the utmost up hand on him. Get the upper hand on him. Folks, we're in something much more important than whether you win a game or not. If we're going to go on and be successful, we need to take the ultimate opportunity in every position that we have to be able to stand there in that place. So, you know, if you need to humble yourself, just humble yourself. Humility is a great key. It is a great key of Christian success. Just get down low. Brother Lloyd used to tell us at home quite often. They taught me in the military. To keep from getting shot, you get your head down. That's what he kept saying. Get your head down. Keep your head down. You don't want to get shot? Keep your head down. Brother John, we heard him say that one. We heard him say, keep your head down, he'd say. Well, I agree with him. Somebody going to start shooting at you, best thing you can do, get your head down. Get just down as low as you can. Lord bless us today to have the determination in our heart to serve the Lord. It is really, at the end of all that, all things, it's going to be the only thing that really matters anyway. Success or not success is going to be how we close our eyes. If we can close our eyes in peace, it's success. May we be successful. You pray for me.